Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
The Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Usually agree with everything this guy says. Highly respect him. Consider him a friend of the show. Hopefully a friend of us individually. And our insider brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online. And in the showroom, visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com. Jeff Merrick, host of Jeff Merrick Show, co-host of 32 Thoughts, the podcast.
But a guy with weird takes. But weird takes? What are you talking about? They're spicy. Come on.
You loved the opening night welcomes from the referees.
I did. You know why?
Come on.
I knew I'd have to defend this, at least on this show, and probably mine later on, too. As I do it, I was texting with Ailish last night, and I throw that tweet. I'm like, I'm guessing she's probably going to ask about this one, so I better have something decent to say about it. I love hockey kitsch. I really do. Like, I love all those. Like,
if you go back to the 19...
It's not a hipster thing. It's a kitschy thing. Like, it's almost like a cringy thing. Like, hockey has this really
proud tradition of being involved in cringe.
So you like cringy things? Yeah, I do. I do. Like, let me ask you this question. Who wants good singers to go to karaoke? Not me.
I agree.
Really bad singers at karaoke because that's what it is. That's what it's supposed to be. You know, the person that goes up there that's been, you know, vocally trained for 20 years and goes and nails whatever song, Whitney Houston or In the Air Tonight or something. Whatever. I don't care about that. That's not why I came. Like, I expect karaoke to be bad. So when I have officials welcoming me to the season, I don't expect it to be smooth. I don't expect these people to be trained and, you know, professional broadcasters. I love the cringe of it. Like, I love every Bruce Boudreaux commercial. Like, Bruce Boudreaux did a ton of commercials when he was the head coach of the Washington Capitals, and they were so cringe. If you look at some of the, you know, the 1970s, whether it's, you know, the Triple Crown line in Los Angeles doing a song called Forgive My Misconduct, it's horribly beautiful. Jim Schoenfeld, former Buffalo Sabres defenseman, recorded an entire album of covers.
Assure
you, Ailish, Justin, you have not lived until you've heard Jim Schoenfeld singing Jimi Hendrix's All Along the Watchtower.
Nice.
You have not lived a full, rich life as a human being on this planet sharing oxygen until you've heard that. So when I saw Rudy and Skillet are doing that yesterday, I'm like, oh yeah, that's what I came here for. That's the good cringe.
Okay, we'll accept that rationale.
Yeah,
because if it was just like, wow, he did such a great job, I loved it. Then it would be a little bit more questionable. I think maybe Ailish has the worst take then, because she thinks that Chris Rooney just went, he just took matters into his own hands and wanted to welcome everyone to the NHL by himself.
Maybe he did.
That would have been great if he just freestyled it. Because one of the things that we know, going back to when in the early 90s when the referees went on strike, one of the things the NHL has always done is try to make them all anonymous. Mm. Like, they took the name bars off the backs of the jerseys after they went on strike. So, like, they really tried to turn them into robots, you know, don't notice them, you know, don't want to announce their name, like none of it. And the fact that they're actually allowing officials to do that yesterday was just the idea that they would allow officials to have some type of personality before a game or sort of break that wall and address the crowd again, like they do with penalties. I get that. But I don't know. I just thought it was a nice touch. I just enjoyed being welcome to the season.
I wonder what Chris Rooney thought when I wonder what he thought when a script was handed to him when he sat down to get ready for the game. Anyway, let's go to Hockey Canada.
Sure.
Yesterday, the pressure finally strong enough for Scott Smith and the board of directors to be squeezed out of their positions. The company shutting off the valves or the lights was really the strongest factor there, unfortunately. But there was really no other choice for these individuals given the situation that they were in. So now that we've been able to, we can't fully turn the page on this because an investigation still has to continue. And there's still many layers to this story. But in terms of the organization and how hockey parents should trust in this organization, where are you with that trust level? And what do you expect should happen next?
So a couple of things there. One, I want to wait to see what the Justice Cromwell reports recommends. And this is essentially an overhaul of, you know, the practices and how Hockey Canada behaves. It'll be up to the 13 members to decide which recommendations to implement. These don't, as we all know, don't go into effect right away once the report is released. And we believe, by the way, Justin, that's coming at the end of this month. Mm. And then there's an AGM for Hockey Canada on December the 17th. So there's a couple of critical dates here on the horizon that we should all sort of pay attention to right now. Gaining trust is going to be a tough one. I want to see what the recommendations are and what they enact. I'll tell you what, you know, as someone who has, you know, two boys that play, and, you know, maybe my daughter ends up, it's her birthday today. She turns six.
Oh, happy birthday.
Maybe one day she's still sleeping right now. Shh, be quiet. She's still sleeping.
I hope so.
But there's a living room table full of presents for her when she comes downstairs. Anyway, maybe she ends up playing too.
There better be a hockey stick on that table.
And choose a right-hand shot to Ailish. Add 10% to the contract.
There you
Let's
go.
Go.
There you go.
I think that as a hockey parent, I think that, you know, we all say it, and so few really do it. I really hope that Hockey Canada, you know, more so now than ever, puts more of an accent on the person than the player. And this is sort of a loosely veiled or thinly veiled way of saying I hope Hockey Canada tries to make better people. Because at the end of this, we're talking about really horrible decisions that people made, within the Hockey Canada program. We all know what goes into, you know, skills training and making a hockey player. Ailish, you're a product of it. Like, you turned yourself into a really high-level hockey player that was able to go play, you know, college in the States. So you know what goes into making Ailish Forfar the player. I'd like to see Hockey Canada invest more in, you know, Justin Cuthbert and Ailish Forfar, the person, and actually work to make better people. Because what is this for? Like, so few are going to go on to have any type of profession in the game. I've always said, you know, one thing over and over again to any kids that I talk to about hockey, and that is, use hockey. Don't let hockey use you. And I hope that there's more of an accent on using hockey to become a better person. All the life skills that that sports can teach you, I think there should really be more of an emphasis on creating better people, creating better citizens, citizens that are more aware of history, that are more aware of, you know, how situations need to be dealt with sensitively, situations where there needs to be, you know, bravery, whether it's calling people out, whether it's adjusting your own behavior, whether it's being honest about yourself. I really hope that through all of this, there's more of an accent on developing the person as opposed to just developing the player. Does that make sense?
That makes a lot of sense. I think you make a great point because, you know, in my experience in hockey, obviously not the same as Ailish's, is almost like you're thrown into the deep end and you got to decide with all the information that's thrown at you, what type of person you're going to become, who you want to be, how you want to handle everything that is involved in hockey. And I feel like that is a good part of development. Sports so important to the development of people. But if there is a little bit of teaching along the way, it probably would benefit everybody.
Yeah, I really, because I've thought a lot about this over the, you know, ever since this scandal broke, you know, sort of what is the role of Hockey Canada, right, Justin? I think we've all wondered about this. And, you know, they're an administrative group, whether it's organizing, you know, elite level tournaments, and that's the high profile stuff. But really, when it comes down to what Hockey Canada is there for, it's, you know, to provide administration for, you know, for hockey organizations all across the country, to negotiate, you know, insurance policy for everybody. So, and I believe it's, you know, of the $24 that each player plays, you know, there's that $3 that we keep hearing about, or withholding our $3, that's for administration. The other $21 goes to insurance. And, you know, Hockey Canada, since they deal with a volume of players, you know, is able to negotiate a very low rate. You know, that's kind of what Hockey Canada does at the hockey level. I just want to see, and maybe this is, you know, maybe this comes down to Hockey Canada, you know, releasing some control and allowing the 13 members, and, you know, there's three here on Ontario, everyone else, every other province has one except for Hockey North, which handles territories. Maybe it's just a matter of handing them more power and decentralizing all the power. I know that'll be a difficult one for Hockey Canada because they've never behaved that way, and that's why I want to see what happens here with the Cromwell report and what the recommendations are as far as best practices for Hockey Canada. So those are a few things off the top of my head. As a hockey parent, that's I hope. I think we're probably all of the same mind. I hope that's the direction that this group chooses to go towards. But again, yesterday wasn't a finish line. Like there was no, you know, there should be, you know, no high fives and okay, job well done. Now on to the next challenge. Yesterday was just another step in this entire process and saga.
And next steps are this interim management committee, which are going to handle some stuff like the hiring. Is there somebody that you think could be a good candidate or type of person? Is it a former player? Is it, you know, someone with a history in the sport, someone completely fresh face, like to lead this next wave of Hockey Canada? Is there somebody or a type of individual that you would, you know, pinpoint for this?
Wow, that's an outstanding question. I think we've all thrown names around. You know, like as far as some of the hockey names go, again, this is a CEO position. Mm-hmm. So this is a very, very specific skill set that someone needs to have. But I do think that regardless of who the CEO is, her or him, whoever that ends up being, that there are different accents and different places of that value is placed in a lot of different places here for Hockey Canada. And I think that what Hockey Canada needs as well is a new front face. Mm-hmm. That there needs to be someone, and whether it is at the CEO level or at a different level, one of the problems that Hockey Canada has had, and we've seen this play out since this scandal first broke, is the perception of Hockey Canada is awful right now. Like I'll tell you, Ailish, like there were people that I spoke to not too long ago who said, like, you know, does Hockey Canada essentially need to dissolve and rebrand itself just because there's been so much damage that has been done? Like when you say Hockey Canada, once upon a time, you know, you filled yourself with pride by saying that I'm mm-hmm. part of the Hockey Canada organization. I mean, maybe you felt that yourself, and Justin, maybe you felt that too. That's not there anymore. That, like, that doesn't exist anymore. Like, this needs, and again, like, I wonder, you know, I wonder about, and I'm just, again, this is me just throwing it out there. This is based on no knowledge whatsoever. But I've always wondered about Cassie Campbell-Pascal.
Mm-hmm.
I've always wondered about, you know, people like Gina Kingsbury. I've always wondered about people like Shane Doan. You know, respected Canadians in mm-hmm. the hockey community. And again, I don't necessarily think that someone needs to, or a group needs to, quote unquote, come from hockey necessarily. But I think there does need to have some type of foundation, at least in the sport, or working knowledge, and maybe having gone through the Hockey Canada system that can act as a front face for all of it, and one that is, you know, highly respected by Canadians. Those are just a few that come to my mind mm-hmm. right away. The CEO position is a very, very specific one. There are a lot of qualified people all around, not just the world of hockey, but the world of sport that can do this. I just know that one of the things that Hockey Canada is going to have to go through is an image change. Like there has to be, you know, a period of time where Hockey Canada goes through essentially a rebranding of itself, whether they change the name or not. There needs to be a new perception about Hockey Canada, because whether it's players, whether it's parents, the perception of Hockey Canada right now is at an all-time low.
It's an interesting balance too, because you mentioned going through the system, but you don't want this person to have really any history with Hockey Canada too. Like, in order to, like, regain that trust and be, it needs to be someone who has been, you know, hasn't been a part of that the regime that we're currently trying to disband. Like, it has to be someone who's obviously involved in hockey in Canada, but not involved in Hockey Canada, if that makes sense.
I know what you're saying. And, you know, it's interesting, you know, before the World Championships, a couple of players that I spoke to, you know, were having, you know, the dilemma, like, we want to play for Canada, but we don't want to play for Hockey Canada. Mm. And I know that there'll be that skepticism. Oh, here comes another one, grew up within the Hockey Canada program. And this is just going to be, you know, this is just a fresh coat of paint. This is such a thin veil. We can see right through this. But I don't know, like, I still maintain, like, and even just those names that I gave you now, like, if it ended up being someone like Cassie Campbell-Pascal, I know I wouldn't feel mm-hmm. like, oh, here we are just serving up another, you know, another, you know, a Hockey Canada robot. And I feel the same way about Gina Kingsbury. I mean, I still think that there are a lot of, you know, this isn't like, oh, you know, hey, baby, here's the bathwater. Like, I don't feel that way about everybody in Hockey Canada, because I don't believe that everybody is a clone of one another. And I think that the mistakes that have been made don't necessarily have to be, you know, won't be repeated just based on who you bring in there and if it is someone from the Hockey Canada system. Now, I know, to your point, Justin, you're right. There will be that criticism. Like, you are completely right about that. If it is a group that is part of the Hockey Canada establishment, let's just call it, there will be that criticism, and it will be swift and it will be sharp. Absolutely. I just, from knowing people in the game, there are a lot of people within Hockey Canada itself, or at least that exist. You know, there are people that exist, and we think we all know who they are, like, are they on the fringes of Hockey Canada, and every now and then sort of dip their beak into various programs. Those people exist as well. And so whether it's someone who ends up leading Hockey Canada, whether it's people that work on the board. You know, it's funny. I was having a conversation 2 days ago before all this broke with someone who said, you know, we know that Marie-Philippe Poulin wants to do one more Olympic cycle, and then she's probably going to go and, you know, work for the Montreal Canadiens full time. But wouldn't she be great in some type of capacity? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's an instant shot of credibility and a breath of fresh air. Like, there needs to be a demonstration that Hockey Canada wants to do something different with a lot of different people, but not necessarily people that, you know, that are completely foreign to the hockey community, let's just say.
Well, all eyes certainly on what happens. They said December 17th, hoping to have that be the final deadline to when everything's at least solidified for moving forward. All eyes on that, but in Toronto, all eyes on Maple Leafs tonight, starting their regular season. We asked the text line this morning how Leafs fans are feeling. How do you think Leafs fans should be feeling this morning?
I think Leafs fans should be optimistic. I think Leafs fans, I know that the predisposition is, you know, Lady Macbeth and wringing your hands and, you know, up and down the hallway and anxious and nervous about everything. I think that Maple Leafs fans should feel like their team, they have one of the best teams in the NHL, and they do. We all know about the playoff frustration. We get it. There's the first round hurdle that still exists, but this is a really good team. This is amongst the elite in the NHL. I know, you know, Dom Lucician's model, the Athletic, has them as the top team in the NHL, which led, you know, everybody to roll their eyes. And he's like, look, this is what my model says. Mm-hmm. And it says that for a reason. The Maple Leafs are one of those teams where, and as much as Sheldon Keefe wants it to downplay it, all the answers are in the playoffs. You know, we'll follow Austin Matthews and the Rocket Richard race, and we'll follow, you know, Mitch Marner and how many points can he put up, and, you know, how are the goaltenders, etc. But really, like, every answer that you had, every question that you have about the Toronto Maple Leafs, none of it gets answered in the regular season. Mm-hmm. This is one of those teams that just can't wait for the playoffs to start. Like, tonight they're playing Montreal, it's game one. They can't wait for April. That's where they're questions start to get answered. But how should Maple Leafs fans feel about their team? They got a really good team. They really do. And I understand the frustration and all the playoff exits, but this is a really, really high-end hockey team. Are they just a really good regular season team that can't get it done in the playoffs? That's the big question still for Maple Leafs fans.
One quick one for you, because I know JoJo's birthday awaits.
Yeah.
Battle of Alberta this weekend. This month. One just after Christmas, but not a single one more. Is the NHL so doing its rivalries justice, Jeff?
Well, not that one. You know, I want to see a whole bunch of the Battle of Alberta. I want to see a whole bunch of Arizona Coyotes Anaheim Ducks games, because when you talk about hockey hatred, that might be at the top of the list. I want to see a whole bunch of Philadelphia Flyers New York Islanders games. I want to see a whole bunch of Islanders Rangers games. I want, you know, sometimes, you know, Minnesota and Winnipeg can get pretty spicy too. That one, no, to be blunt, Justin, that one really pisses me off, because for the longest time, you know, when Edmonton's been good, Calgary hasn't been good. When Calgary's been good, Edmonton hasn't been good. And here they are, both elite, both make the, you know, for both these teams, you can make the point that, you know, either team could win the division. Either team could make it to the conference final, maybe make it to the Stanley Cup final. It's one of the best rivalries in the game, and they only meet three times. I think you're bang on. I think this is, you know, I hate to blast, you know, Steve Hatzepetros, the schedule maker, but man, this one just plain sucks. Just plain sucks.
Well, we got the Battle of the Leafs and the Habs kick things off. That's a good rivalry. Yeah, it'd be fun to see them in action tonight. Kind of a classic, eh? One, right? Kind of goes back pretty deep.
Bit of history.
Goes back to like 1917.
Jeff, appreciate you joining us this morning in the words on Hockey Canada, and we'll chat with you next week.
Thanks, guys. Have a great week.
Happy birthday, JoJo. Jeff Merrick, host of Jeff Merrick Show and co-host of 32 Thoughts Podcast and our Insider. Brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com.
So I think you use a really important word there when looking at future leadership on the fringes of Hockey Canada. And that's sort of what I was getting at, is like, just because you threw on a Maple Leaf sweater once in your life doesn't mean you shouldn't be involved in this organization for moving forward. Mm-hmm. And I guess that, you know, opens things up for you, given that you once represented Hockey Canada.
I'm in the running to be the CEO of Hockey Canada.
But I think it should be someone who only has loose connection otherwise. Like, if you've been involved in those boardrooms, if you've been in important meetings, how can that trust be established the way it needs to be?
On the contrary, because I think I fall more in Jeff's camp, you know what's been wrong. You know where the downfalls are. You've hopefully not been a part of it. I see what you mean. But you understand the structure and where the issues were and probably still exist. So I think there's a little bit of experience that can help you change that around. I don't really know what a CEO of Hockey Canada does besides
there's business obligations that are beyond anything that we're
like,
gonna be
like,
able to
Marie-Philippe Poulin to be involved in Hockey Canada. I don't think she knows how to be a CEO. Like,
and that's a good point.
For sure. Like, I don't know what that means.
He mentioned Gina Kingsbury.
But to be a leader, Gina Kingsbury is great. I know Gina Kingsbury.
And she was a double IHF ambassador. Mm-hmm. She was an ambassador for Hockey Canada. And that's great. I think that is an appropriate level of connection, where you have some understanding of the organization, but you weren't, you know, taught from someone who taught Scott Smith. That's sort of where I'm at. Like, it's got to be a loose connection is fine. You used to play for the team, even better.
Because there's a lot of pride when you play for that team.
I think in order to build that trust, you can't be someone who's been on that chain of emails or whatever. You know what I mean? I don't think I'm like going too far here.
No, I see your point.
But it's got to be someone who hockey fans inherently trust. Shane Doan is interesting.
Well loved, well respected. Has done some roles in similar.
Cassie Campbell, interesting too.
I guess we'll have to see.
But again, a part of that trust issue is like, okay, there's this vagueness of this board that's just going to be put together by whom? And it's like, okay, well, how is anything going
to
change if we don't put a name to it? Mm-hmm. How is anything going to change? You got a couple minutes here. I want to throw some predictions at you.
I love it.
You want NHL? You want Leafs?
It's Leafs Day. Let's go.
Okay, so we already touched on, was it Parlay Poppy?
Parlay Poppy.
Parlay Poppy took my Ilya Samsonov one. So here's one for you to chew
on.
Are
these bold predictions or just predictions?
I hope they're bold enough.
Okay, I like that.
Mitch Marner will finish with more Hart Trophy votes than Austin Matthews.
Wow. Where was he in the rankings last year?
I can pull it up.
Okay.
But, I mean, pretty clear which one deserved the legitimate last year with Austin Matthews having a 60-goal season, and I think that's possible. But we've been talking about Marner and what might be possible for him, and I think he's going to have that 110, 120-point season now one of these days. And if he does that and Matthews has a 55-goal season, maybe Mitch Marner gets some of the shine this year.
It's interesting you bring that up because yesterday I was listening to Jeff on the J.D. Bunkus podcast, and he said they think Cale Makar will win the Hart.
Well, we went through our process, and I agree. He is one of the players that has a chance because he does things that Connor McDavid can't do. He plays defense, puts up 35 goals playing on the blue line, maybe 100 points playing on the blue line, in addition to everything he does on the back end for the Colorado Avalanche playing 30 minutes a night. You can make that case. You can make the case for an elite goaltender, which I tried to do when we talked about the Hart Trophy. But it's going to be hard to outscore McDavid. So Mitch Marner, I feel like he can only win an Art Ross. I think he's going to win one day, but it's going to be because Connor McDavid misses some time. And just to answer your question on the Hart Trophy, zero votes last year.
Oh, zero.
Finished 19th.
Hey, there's only one way but up at that point.
Yeah, maybe that's too bold.
More Hart Trophy votes than Austin Matthews. He had zero last year. Anything can happen, Justin. I like, you know what? Put it out there because you're probably the only one that has that take right now. So you stand steadfast on your take.
Okay, let me give you one.
Give me another one.
Let me give you an NHL one that is adjacent, Leaf adjacent.
Okay, I like that.
Florida Panthers take a 30-point step back.
Wow.
In the standings.
Who
122, jumps over them? 122 to 92.
Okay.
Still competing for a postseason spot.
Still, yeah.
But might get pinched by Buffalo, Detroit, maybe Ottawa.
They're not Detroit.
I think they're going to be scratching and clawing, no pun intended, to get into the postseason after winning the President's Trophy last year. 30 points.
Wow, that's a lack of confidence in those guys.
It's the Leafs division future I put in that's just clouding my judgment.
I think the Atlantic is...
It's so much more competitive now. I think all these teams are going to take a slight step back.
I agree.
Like, I think the Leafs are going to be hard-pressed to get 115, but they're going to win the division.
Winning that division is really important.
I think 110 might win the division.
I don't think that the Red Wings are going to take the step that...
No, I'm with you.
I think that we're big on the Sens. I think that they're going to take a step forward. The Canadians are not.
Everyone's going to win more games at the bottom half. Mm-hmm. Montreal included, I think. Mm-hmm.
30 points is a lot of
points. Those wins have got to be taken from somewhere.
You're right. All right. You got one more? I like these. Or should we save them for Wake and Rake?
No,
hey, don't
go.
You have something to chew on that's related to this?
Is it time for something to chew on?
Yeah, it's
brought
been
to you by
time.
Great Canadian Meats.
Everyone's waiting. Yum, yum, yum.
Okay, let's go.
Everyone's hungry for something to chew on, Justin.
I got excited with the bold takes. So this is from Mike Kelly, NHL Network. The Norris Trophy, we were just talking about Cale Makar, has been won by 10 different defensemen in the last 10 years. No repeat winners of this highly subjective award. So Makar last year, Adam Fox the year before, Yossi, Giordano. Only four seasons removed from Norris Trophy, now earning $800,000.
You kind of forget about that, actually.
On the Maple Leafs blue line. Hedman, Burns, Doughty, Carlson, Keith, Subban. Things can change quickly. I don't know if that's what you want to chew on. How different the landscape is just 10 years later. Subban retired. Keith retired. Erik Karlsson basically talking about how he just doesn't have it anymore. Drew Doughty, he can still play, but he was injured last year. Brent Burns, traded for free. Nothing in return. A salary dump. Oh, no, that was Pacioretty. But basically free.
Same thing.
Given away. Hedman, still elite. Giordano, again, playing third pairing minutes right now. It's crazy how quickly things can turn over. But it's also crazy how there's no repeat winners in the last 10 years of the Norris Trophy.
That is.
But I think the thing to be chewing on is that that's what makes Cale Makar special. He hasn't done it yet, but the expectation is that he dominates this award for a little while, which would put him in a class by himself based on recent history.
So next Norris winner that isn't on that list.
Moritz Seider.
I was just, damn it. I love Moritz Seider.
Say it.
Well, I teed you up. You have somebody else written in there.
Maybe Miro Heiskanen. I'll go Heiskanen, you go Seider.
You have Quinn Hughes written in there.
No, that was part of his tweet. I don't believe Quinn Hughes can win.
Oh, Norris. Okay. I was going to say. Well, that was good. Something to chew on. Appreciate it. Wendell Clark. After the break. That's next on the Fan Morning Show. Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
We're back on the Fan Morning Show. Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Justin and Ailish. Toronto Maple Leafs begin their regular season road to the playoffs this evening against the Montreal Canadiens. And somebody that knows all too well what today feels like is Wendell Clark, former Maple Leafs captain, two-time NHL All-Star, joins us this morning. How's it going?
All very good. All good. Season ready.
I love the energy. You know, tonight could be a very important night for Austin Matthews. He's just one goal behind you in terms of ranking eighth in NHL goals in Leafs history. Is that something that you might celebrate, or is there a little bit of feeling around that? You know, you could be piggyback jumped over tonight.
Oh, I think he's going to have a tough time getting it this year.
Yeah, me too, actually. I don't know. The odds on that are tough.
Yeah. No. It's hey, he's had an unbelievable start to his career and awesome player. So hopefully he gets over it by the first period.
Wendell, do you still get excited for opening night?
Well, not like the players' day, but it's always fun. It's a new season. It's almost in a calendar, in a hockey player's calendar year. This is the start of every season, not January 1 kind of thing. So it's an exciting time for the players and for us fans that want to watch them play.
So Leafs are without Simmons and Clifford and missing a little bit of toughness. Have you gotten the call in for a little bit of muscle back there?
Well, no, not since they wanted to. They don't want to slow down the lineup, so I'm out. I'm out. They said so. It's something that the whole salary cap world, you've got pieces, and you can only put so many pieces in the lineup, and plus they got to dictate whichever way they're building their team. Mm-hmm.
Can you fake toughness, Wendell? Like, I feel like it hasn't been in the Leafs' DNA for a couple years now. And then they try to add someone at the fringe of the lineup or playing wing on that fourth line. And it's like, okay, that feels like more of a checked box than something that actually helps or fits in naturally with the team. Can you just have one guy who's tough and expect that to be enough? Or do you just embrace what you are? And in the case of the Leafs, you're just a highly skilled puck possession team, and maybe you're best just embracing that.
Well, that's what they, you see the team, that's how they're built. That's how they've been built. They want to play with speed and skill and force the teams to play that way. They have to prove they can win that way. And it's tough when you bring one guy in and say, okay, you're the tough guy, because you're asking him to fit in and play that way, and it's not his way of playing. But the lineup that we have, their toughness is they have to know and want to play through everything. They have to continue using their skill and speed no matter what the game turns into. And that's a test for our guys as you get to the end of the year when the game changes a little bit.
So the Leafs know their identity, and it might not be being the tough guys. What is it that's held this team back in your mind in terms of getting that postseason success and, you know, the ultimate goal of winning the last game of the season?
Well, they have to just figure out how to do it in the playoffs. We know we've had 5 years or so getting to the playoffs and doing pretty well in the first round other than not winning it. And as a collective group, we have to be able to win that game six and game seven, or win that game seven of the first round. And once they do that as a group, they'll have technically figured it out, and their confidence will grow. And it's not something I think you can be told, okay, this is how you do it. It's something they have to live. And so it's It's up to this group to live it under the style that they're playing, and be patient that their skill is, pretty much the best in the league almost. I think that they will end up scoring more goals or more points than the other team by the end of the game in Game 7. They just have to be patient enough that the score might be 1-0 after six periods. It's not going to be a 6-5 game, and they just have to be patient and not open up and let the other team score either.
In terms of intrigue or the unknown, I think entering the season, what the Leafs have done with their goaltending position is at the forefront of that. They've got Matt Murray. They've got someone, hopefully, that can push Matt Murray in Ilya Samsonov. I wonder, looking back at your career, and specifically 1993, what the dynamic might have been like between Grant Fuhr and Felix Potvin. I feel like that would have been a legitimate goaltending competition, a veteran and a guy on the come up a little bit. I wonder how, if that is indeed true, that they were kind of just competing for time, how that may have helped your group with two guys who are trying to get the better of each other and therefore lift the team.
Well, I don't know. They're both. Well, Matt wants to come and prove that he can still play, and I think he can as long as his health stays healthy. And I don't think we took a downstep in goaltending at all from last year to this year. I think with the two guys, if Matt can stay healthy, I think he can lead. And if he doesn't stay healthy, I think Samsonov can come in, and it's his time to prove that he can play in the NHL. He was a high pick. He's played well, so he's got some pedigree that it's his time to step in and take it like Felix was in the Grant Fuhr time. It's his time to take it as well. I'm not always a big believer in we have two guys sitting side by side in the dressing room and they're competing for ice time, so you want them to hate each other.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't sell. You have to have a cohesive unit that understands where they play and how they play. You can't have two guys always thinking, okay, I'm going to take the number one, and the next day he wants the number one. That isn't a healthy situation, even though from the outside looking in, people think that's healthy competition. But it's really not in an 80-game season that you're putting players under that kind of duress day in, day out.
That's interesting because I think we mostly romanticize about that. Well, two guys are going to lift each other up. They're going to be there for one and each other, and not, doesn't necessarily work out that way. I mean, it might be better in your mind if one of these guys takes the ball and runs with it.
Yeah, no, whoever is the slated, I think he takes the ball. He's the number one, and the other guy's going to be, I'm going to be the best number two in the league. And you have to have that. You have to have a situation where one guy is the number one and one guy is happy with number two and filling in. And in today's game, more than in my time, it was like 60-20 number one versus number two, where today it's almost a 50-50, even though the guy may be the number two, just because of how they want to play their goaltenders in today's NHL. But I know from the outside, and it's a great talking point that you always want two guys battling for number one, where that's not really the case. I don't think it's healthy. Your two guys are tired and mad at each other sitting there, and then they never show it because they have to be great team guys. But there's a set that you have to be comfortable in the room.
What's the key to winning a division, Wendell? You won it in your final season and third stop with the Maple Leafs. You were limited in that season to, I think, about 20 games. But what do you view as key when aiming to win a division, going into the season with that as a primary goal?
Well, see, we have to have a consistent regular season. I don't think we have to finish first overall. It doesn't in today's NHL. You don't have to be first overall. You have to be healthy and playing well at the right time of year. So our goal is to have our team, and that's the toughest thing as a manager and a coach, is playing well right in April when the real season starts. So you want to be playing well and consistent throughout the year, and then be healthy and playing well if you can in April, and then take your division from there. It's and have the confidence that you can play in any situation. I think that's teams that win the Stanley Cup, whether the Lightning and then Colorado that upset the Lightning. You have to have the confidence to play in any kind of game, whether it's a 1-0 game or a 6-5 game, and have the confidence to win it. And hopefully we can have that by April.
We're speaking with Wendell Clark, former Maple Leafs captain, two-time NHL All-Star. And as I said, right ahead of Auston Matthews in terms of eighth all-time goals in Leafs history. So that might end sometime this season, maybe tonight, maybe moving forward down the road. But If you look at the consistency you're talking about as a team, Austin Matthews did that as a player all last season. How special was it for you to watch his massive step last year?
Well, it's great. When Austin first came in, it was a youngster at 18, a big guy with great skill and scoring goals. And then as you watched him mature into last year, he's that skill guy with, he's a power forward as well. You know, the guys can't handle him because of his strength, and he's got the quick release. He can shoot, he can hit what he aims at, and he can skate, and now he can lean on players to keep and protect the puck, which he's a very hard player to defend against because of the strength that he got with age. And he's just become better, and he can, because he's a big guy, he can bring it every night at 18 to 20 minutes and just be a prolific hockey player.
I know it's hard to find areas to improve when you win the Hart Trophy, but if you're looking at something that will help Austin Matthews become an even better player this season, what would that be?
Well, I just think it's learning. His biggest thing now, when you get to be that good a hockey player, is learning to do it every night, because teams are going to keep bringing ways or finding ways to try to play against you. So he's going to be adapting and learning how to play against teams that are going to try to find ways to shut him down. And that's his big adaptation every year now, is when you get to that level and you're that good, is finding new ways to beat the team you're playing against. Where, you know, other players in our lineup, they don't have to worry about that. They're played against the same. But when you're the best of the best, kind of thing like he is, you're finding new ways to beat the players who are playing against you, because the coaching staffs are got videotape and breakdown of how do we stop him from scoring in the areas he likes to score in.
John Tavares is entering the challenging part of his career where it's, you know, he might have to adapt. He might not be as fast as he once was, or he might not be able to dominate like he once was. And he's sort of admitted as such at training camp, saying, you know, I'm trying to find little ways to improve my game, because making those big strides like I did when I was younger is very difficult. So what's the challenge for an aging star to be at their best when they might not have their best game quite anymore?
Well, stars like Tavares, they've played the game so long that they know exactly what's happening. They work, they do more with less a lot of times in the high traffic areas, or whether it be around the offensive net and down low and protecting the puck and your offensive end. And so he's a very smart hockey player. He's not going to skate maybe the way he once did, but he was never an affluent skater, so that's actually a positive that you're not really changing your style. But we have to, he's got great leadership qualities on how he works and carries himself and leads by example. And he will always be a factor, because he can play in different roles up and down the lineup. And then he's just leading by example.
Wendell, I assume you'll be spending a lot of time down there at Scotiabank Arena this season, watching the Maple Leafs up close. You got to watch out for our co-host here. Ailish is going to be hanging out at Leaf games all the time on the mic. She might be interviewing at some point. So just a heads up, be ready for her energy and her enthusiasm at the rink when you're doing maybe an on-screen appearance down at Leaf games.
Yeah, no, I'll have to be sharp. Get my A suit, get my A sports jackets all set right up for new season.
There you go. She'll go easy on you. We appreciate your time. It's a lot of fun having you on. Enjoy the season. Enjoy tonight. And hopefully we can chat again down the road.
Awesome. Very good. All the best, guys.
Thanks, Wendell. Wendell Clark, former Maple Leafs captain, 6-time 30-goal scorer, ranks 8th all-time in Leafs goals, one ahead of Austin Matthews. Maybe in the Waken Rake, you can bet that might end tonight.
Pretty wild that Austin Matthews is chasing down a Leaf legend
Wendell Clark.
Within, what is he entering, his 7th season? 17,
something like that.
6 or 7 seasons for Austin Matthews, and he's already, you know, nestling up with the greats and the legends of this franchise.
Amazing.
If he sticks around, the opportunities seem endless for him to rewrite record books. Same goes for Mitch Marner, same goes for Morgan Riley. He could be the games played leader by the end of his current contract. Lots of carrots to chase if they choose to chase them.
Send in your Wake and Rake as well if you want to be in the anchor of our selection. A lot of them coming in Austin Matthews related, no doubt about it. I'm sure we'll do a little same game parlay for your Toronto Maple Leafs today. That'll be in the 8:30 block. But keep those coming at 590, 590. You can also tweet or DM us your picks. I'm big on Austin Matthews' opening night history shows. He brings it.
Yeah, and he seems ready based on what we saw in the preseason. It seems like he was cruising through that portion of the schedule like a veteran does. Mm-hmm. It's definitely not anything to be concerned about that he might, you know, not necessarily have the intensity that you would expect from Austin Matthews or that we've seen before from Austin Matthews, because it doesn't matter, but it will matter tonight and tomorrow and on Saturday. And we can probably expect Austin Matthews, unlike last season, to be at his best right away. And that could mean 60 plus is a breeze.
Wow. 60 plus.
I mean, what was the per game? Over 0.8 goals per game last year? Something along those lines? Dealing with injury to start, missing a couple games
through
injury later in the season.
He's healthy now.
I believe he was suspended for a game.
Oh, yeah.
After that Buffalo incident with his buddy Rasmus
Dahlin. What a journey that was.
It was definitely a journey.
How are Maple Leafs fans feeling this morning? 590, 590. You can always send in your thoughts and comments. We should have done live callers today. Get everyone fired up for Leafs season. I'll sprinkle that in again. That was really fun last week. Mm-hmm. Heading into Blue Jays playoff. But tell us how you're feeling. How you should be feeling, I hope, is excited. A lot of people in the text line feel the same way. You know, there's also quite a few people that say, wake me up when it's the playoffs. And I get both sides of it.
And again, that's totally fair. But I think, and we mentioned it off the first block, got to be excited about this while you can. Mm-hmm. We just said it. There's a player on this team who is coming off being named the best in the league, who is chasing down the legends of the franchise, timeless, timeless players when you reflect on the history of the Toronto Maple Leafs. And Matthews is just casually running them down. So it's something we should probably savor while you can, and not to, you know, cause any alarm bells to go off, but just to enjoy the peak of two of the great players in the league right now in Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner, and a really good supporting cast as well.
Leafs projected opening night lineup: Bunting, Matthews, Marner starting in that first line, Nylander, Tavares, and Malgin. So Tavares is expected to be in the lineup tonight, coming back from his injury. Engvall, Kerfoot, and Yarncroak, Aston Reese, Kampf, and Obe Kubel, Justin Cuthbert's favorite trio to ever grace us in the blue and white. Riley and Brody, Muzzin and Hall, and Gio and Sandin.
We've been doing a little bold prediction action. This isn't really a bold prediction, but I waxed on about how I am so encouraged by the bottom six with the Maple Leafs. Best it's ever been in this era of Maple Leafs hockey. And I guess one of my predictions is that these two lines absolutely dominate statistically. That maybe they're the envy of other contenders across the league who are jamming lesser than players into their fourth line and expecting it to be okay, it to be productive. I think the Leafs are going to have four dominant lines from a statistical perspective. So I guess that's my other bold prediction.
We have some texts in here about their Maple Leafs feelings this morning. I'm so excited for the season. I'm on my way right now to go to work at the Scotiabank Arena Presidential Suite in preparation for tonight's home game. Is that Brendan Shanahan? Shanny on the text line.
If you can glean some information.
Yeah. Hey, let us know.
I mean, if you're Shanahan, you can just, you know, call in and we'll put you on at any time.
Please.
But if you're just like working at Shanahan's
That's kinda cool.
game day office, then let us know if you hear anything.
Vic from Toronto says, 55 years and counting. Let's go.
Has it been 55 years? I never do the math.
Oh, I'm sure you'll hear all about it.
33 plus 22 would be 55.
When's the first regular season game? That's tonight. Can't wait for the playoffs.
Fair.
Looking forward to seeing Matt Murray play. I love Wendell Clark. Same. Thanks for listening to that interview. That was great. Andrew from Mississauga. Morning, guys. Every year I'm fooled by the Leafs. But this time I see the insanity of trying the same thing over and over again with a goalie. You can't win. Andrew.
Speaking of you down at the Scosh. Is there one member of the alumni that you're most looking forward to?
Yeah, Darcy Tucker next.
You're not even going to let me ask the question.
Okay, sorry. What's the question?
Darcy Tucker is the one you want to interview?
I will bring you my rookie hockey card of me being, I think I'm five or six, and it's Sutton Rangers. Shout out to Sutton Rangers at Sutton Arena. And it says, favorite hockey player.
Are you in the rafters at Sutton Arena?
No, I don't think they have rafters. The place is a small, intimate rafters. Setting. Anyway, it says, favorite hockey player, Darcy Tucker. And I've stood fast in that love ever since. It also says in the back, future aspiration. This is hilarious. Professional rock climber or Canadian women's hockey team. What?
Did you power rank?
I never climbed a rock in my life. I have no idea why it says professional rock climber on my 6-year-old hockey card. It's so cute though, but it says professional rock climber. Oh, and it says hobbies. I have to show this on the internet now. Hobbies, bodybuilder or bodybuilding.
You were an interesting 6-year-old.
I think my parents must have filled it out. So then, like, one day we'd look back if I was on Team Canada.
They were content creators way back then. They knew when you had that chance to play for Team Canada, which you did, someone pull up that card and it would obviously be prophetic.
I'll bring it in tomorrow for you.
But also, it would give you a laugh because you wanted to be a bodybuilder at 6 years old.
I love it. let's take a break. I wonder what Nick Kypreos' 6-year-old hockey card looked like. He's next on the Fan Morning Show with Justin and Ailish, Sportsnet 590, The Fan.